Recently on the news, we've all seen many images of groups of people, in some cases being pitted against each other, but even if not that, at least acting in a way that we would describe as groupthink or a mob mentality. And I think now might be a good time to just look at psychologically what causes this behavior and what we can learn from it.
Yeah, I think this is certainly topical. And, you know, groups can be a bit tricky. We, as humans, are social beings. We, you know, have a need to belong and, you know, thrive in a social context. And oftentimes, you know, groups can be powerful forces for good, right? We can accomplish more together than we can alone. You know, we talk about that. But, you know, it turns out that there is also a dark side to groups, that some of the same properties that help facilitate us and help us do better when we're around others can also, well, have that dark side where, you know, groups can sometimes bring out the worst in us. And you know, one thing that really seems to matter is who's in the group. Right? We do our best when we're in diverse groups of people, when we're with people who are not like us, right? Because groups then can somehow be greater than the individual. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, right? When we have people come together with different backgrounds and ideas and beliefs, coming together helps create a product or create a process that is stronger. But, you know, one thing we know about humans is we tend to like to affiliate and be around people who are like us, right? So instead of having groups that challenge us or groups that you know, have us reflect beyond our own sense of the world and who we are, we tend to affiliate and find groups that really kind of confirm how we think about the world. And, you know, this isn't always a malevolent or sort of evil sort of thing. We do that, you know, if you bowl, you tend to bowl with people who like bowling, right? You don't bring people along who, you know, a 50 would be a great game, right? And so, you know, this isn't problematic except when it is, right? When we end up with groups that something we call is this idea of group polarization. So it's a fancy term that just says when we were with people who share our beliefs, we tend to move more to the extreme, whatever that extreme might be, right? So this might apply to, you know, if you're a big fan of HBO Game of Thrones, right? You're going to find even more extreme liking of that show and talking about it more and then buying into it. And next thing you know, you might be dressing up and whatnot and all those sorts of things. And this also applies to political ideas and other things as well, right? That when you're with a group of people who sort of already share some views, you might go even more to the extreme. You know, and another feature of groups that can be potentially dangerous is this idea of losing your sort of individuality, right? There's a sense of anonymity in groups, right? Where it's not you, it's a group as a whole. And you know, we see this, again, not always in bad terms. This happens in sporting events, right? When you go to a game, you're not, you know, not yourself. You're part of the team. You're part of the fans. And, you know, you find people yelling and chanting and screaming, things I know I don't really do in my normal everyday life, but, you know, in a football game, I might be yelling and jumping up and screaming and things like that, right? But so what we see is that groups kind of propel people towards the extremes.
What happens if you have one or maybe just a couple of people in a larger group and initially those people think something differently than the group? What does psychology tell us about what will happen to those individuals the longer they're with that group?
Yeah, you know, and it really comes down to how the group is run, right? Some groups are very open to dissenting ideas and opinions, right? They create a space where the goal of the group is not to, you know, we all agree, we obviously know this, we're right. Instead, it's a space where different ideas can be shared and dissent is embraced, right? It's part of the group identity to welcome people in who don't share the same beliefs. And those groups tend to be more inclusive and they grow over time and they tend to be more representative of a broader segment of the population, right? In contrast, there are some groups that are focused mainly on agreement, right? That we only want to, you know, we all agree the same. Oftentimes there's this sense of moral superiority. That's one of the most dangerous elements in a group, right? If they, not just believing something, but believing in it strongly that you were right and that this is some sort of moral imperative, right? This is probably why Games of Thrones is not that dangerous as sort of groups, even the super fans out there. But groups who really embrace that they're right, that they are sort of morally legitimate in their correctness, that's where we can see a dangerous phenomenon where they really can push to the extreme. And members who disagree, instead of their voices being included and in dialogue and in consensus building, those voices are often pushed out.
Is there any research that can determine whether there's a stronger pull for people who are brought together for a positive reason, such as building a playground, as opposed to those who are brought together by maybe aggressive or negative reasons?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's certainly research looking at different forms of group membership. And one of the difficult things here is that, you know, groups coming together for those positive reasons or for a sense of building community tend to be much harder to create and maintain than groups organizing around a polarizing issue.
Are you telling me it's easier to hate?
You know, in some ways, yes. And I think that comes back to our social origins, right? We have a natural tendency in our evolutionary history to fear the unknown, to fear people or places or things or ideas that are not like us, right? We call this the idea of the in-group, out-group bias. We tend to like and affiliate with people or affiliate with people who are like us, and we tend to be distrustful and suspicious of those who are not. And this, you know, this is what it is. And when we were on the savannah and in the plain, you know, out in the plains of Africa and Eurasia, those sorts of innate biases were crucial for survival, right? They kept us alive to trust those like us and to be fearful of those who are not. But I think, you know, in our modern world, those innate biases can be very dangerous. And so, right, hate in some ways can be easy. Compassion and community building are much more difficult, but we know we're capable of it. It just takes more effort, and it takes a real willingness to sit with discomfort, to occasionally make mistakes, to be humbled, but to open ourselves to those experiences of really trying to understand people who have perspectives different than our own. And I think within that can be really powerful communities that form, but they don't come easily. And I think we need them now more than ever.